Hello out there, it's Paul Modenson from NewSpark, your fractional CMO lead generator. I know I haven't been out in a while, but been busy, but you know, there's always good conversation on the airwaves and podcasts, including today, including mine. So anyway, making this up as we speak, it's not AI. We'll do another topic on that eventually. But like who hasn't? But today we're going to talk about some marketing stuff, but very interesting tools and platforms regarding content and lead generation and sales generation. You know, there's a lot of tactics out there, and list building and LinkedIn marketing and paid search and demand gen and account-based marketing, you name it. There's a whole checklist, right? But there's one thing that you may not think about as much. You know, a lot of tools do it, but, you know, really taking advantage of it is, website visitor tracking. And that's what our guest is all about today, among other things, but we're going to focus on that, you know, and how it fits into the whole, revenue generation funnel. His name is, he's famous, even though I never heard him till LinkedIn. But his name is Connor Doobie, Doobie like the brothers. He calls himself the Content King, but anyway, he's an advisor, he's host of the B2B Mentors podcast, and multi-time entrepreneur behind brands like ProvenContent.com and ConvertaVisit, right? So he writes his first oddball business at 7, geez Louise. Carter's caught to generate 8 figures in sales by his early 20s and coach hundreds of high-level marketers on content marketing, ROI recaptures, kind of what we're talking about, and social selling strategies. He's been featured on leading marketing podcasts, platforms, stages, and contributed coursework to help colleges modernize their curriculum in B2B sales and marketing. But with AI, that's got to be updated again. But
definitely.
No, he's definitely, he also has a podcast, which I'll put in the information on the podcast, provencontent.com/B2B-mentors. But you'll see that. Anyway, welcome, Connor. How are you?
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me. Honored to be here. And I gotta clarify one thing for the record. The Content King name, I kind of hated it, but I did a bunch of masterminds over the years. And one of the businesses we operate, we've produced over 40,000, custom pieces of content in like 70 industries. And all of a sudden our clients and our mastermind group are like, hey, it's the Content King and all that. I'm like, all right, might as well leverage it for the branding. So that's how we came to be and came to, also through that process, develop out the tools like ConvertaVisit.
Yeah. Well, good. And you're humble at the same time. So you've been successful and that's really cool. And how did you get into this, did you go to, college and your parents and send them to what's the mindset? What drives you?
Just always from a young age. I don't know what it was. Both my parents had real estate backgrounds, and as a, kind of real estate agent world, they're very entrepreneurial. And I think it was in my blood to adopt that early on. I knew I always wanted to build businesses and love sales, love marketing. Started a handful of, just odd companies in high school and over the years. And eventually ended up kind of managing, while I was working my way through college, earning my marketing degree, which totally agree with you, not up to date, not relevant. That's why I went back to that same university and helped them kind of execute some of their social selling content work. But, I've always had a passion for that. And early on, while I was working my way through college, helped manage a marketing team. Some of the folks, 25 people, almost 3 times my age, helped grow that from, around $3.5-4 million to $10.8 million in a year and a half. I was going to leave there, start another business, and decided, hey, I'm going to bug the crap out of my my dad, my first mentor, who had kind of this legacy content agency. It was called Proven Systems back at the time.
Oh, okay.
And they did newsletters very early for, started back when companies were still literally mailing their newsletters out, and being the innovative guy that he is, helped take that digital, pretty early on, eventually evolve that. You know, I helped rebrand it, create kind of our modern product and service suite, which is now proven content.
All right, good, good. Well, you know, there's a lot of, just a sidebar here. I mean, since I started my business and before then, you know, the content marketing category is just so broad. You know, the Content Marketing Institute, you know, all the HubSpot content, this and that. And, you know, there's a lot of players out there. The question is, it's not just the content for content's sake, of course. There's the SEO version of it. There's a lead gen version of it. There's a thought leadership version of it, right? Or a combination of all, right?
100%.
You know, and it's all about, you know, building trust, of course. And, you know, that's a big thing, right? But good. You know, so like you're, with the different programs you have out there, you talk about, you know, managing budgets. I do that with media and tracking. And, you know, as a thought leader and a media buyer and things like that, there's one thing we always talk about, at least in my business, about, are you like wasting your money, right? Like, where do we spend our money and how do we track it? And that's a whole nother podcast story. But you talk about in your, what is going on, like, in your view and experience about the term businesses wasting marketing dollars, and what is that in your view?
I think everyone could agree that they're not fully maximizing, the entirety of what money they are spending. And especially in the world of B2B, this applies for B2C and B2B, but especially in the world of B2B, long decision-making cycles, lots of decision makers. Some of these sales cycles for clients can go 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years. And so it's hard to attribute a lot of the activities that you've done, you know, today that will impact you or create a result, you know, 6-7 months down the road. And so, you know, whether you are listening to this and you're thinking, I don't spend anything on my marketing, all I do is go out and prospect, for example, right? Well, that's a form of marketing. You're either, you know, paying your salary, you're paying for salespeople, SDRs, BDRs, if you're doing paid ads, as a form, pay-per-click, conferences, trade shows, events. You're doing content marketing, you're doing inbound, you're doing outbound, you're doing all around, whatever it is, all roads to an eventual deal, even referrals and word of mouth, are going to go to one place and one place only. And, they're going to go there to validate you, to verify you, to seek information before they reach out. Everybody does this, whether you're buying shoes online and you're doing your research, or you're buying a $500,000 SaaS solution for your company. Buyers are doing more research. So they're going to go to your website. And, you know, with our, kind of bread and butter origin, strictly as a content business, what we realized a number of years ago is our clients, not only from the content, they're getting all these leads over to their site, but the challenge is, the average stats show only 1-2% at most are going to convert, right? They're going to call you, they're going to reach out, they're going to fill out a form, they're going to take some sort of action. And so that leaves a whole lot of money on the table for essentially leads and business that you've already paid for, you've already invested into, that are coming to your site, investigating your team. And maybe what happens, they get busy, they leave, timing isn't right, and you need to be able to capture them into your funnel. Or they may be going out and looking at competitors, right? In which case you have the chance to lose them in that case is pretty high if those competitors capture them better than you do. Realizing this, we went and like, how can we add value to what we're doing with content side of things, where it's hard, it's immeasurable, because it takes a lot of time, a lot of nurturing. And to your point earlier, Paul, you know, it's leveraged in different ways, from an ABM perspective, used in ads, used in email, used on your website for SEO and search, used on social media. And we vetted every single like tool. Like, there's got to be a way to figure out how to close the gap on, you know, essentially the ROI that you're losing. And that's where we came about, you know, testing all the platforms out there, the softwares. We didn't love any of them. The data was terrible. None of them showed you exactly who was coming to your website. And that led us to partnering up with team and developing out ConvertaVisit, which does exactly that on the
B2B. Yeah, I'm going to talk to you about that in a sec. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, before we get to that, I appreciate that. Let's talk about big picture of this marketing sales intent. I call it like intent marketing. That's what it's a big popular category. So How do you define intent? Intent is, identifying prospects who have raised their hand thinking that they are researching something. Are they ready to buy yet? Likely not. They're researching competitors, like you said, but it may not be a totally warm lead yet. Depends on where they are in their business, in their buying cycle.
Not quite raise their hand, but kind of getting up to that point through, however they're navigating their journey.
So when you think about, like, a while back, I did a podcast with head of like Bombora, right? Mm-hmm. In B2B circles, most people should know that they're the biggest like intent company out there. There used to be a few others, but like Aberdeen, I think, was another. Anyway, but the point though, they're all about, have you identified intent as people who are reading pages about a certain keyword, right? It's kind of like contextual targeting that a lot of digital ad platforms have, where I want to put my ad on a page about this, right? They may be just interested in the topic. They may not be like buyers yet, but it's still like a somewhat of a clue. We're talking about different kinds of clues, right? That's a reading pages. TechTarget does it, and a few other platforms. They all have this intent targeting by keyword, by pages, things like that. And then they overlay that, but that's another story.
Where did they source from? What is the quality of that lead, and how did it source? Because that also gives you insight as to like how effective am I being in one channel or another. So many marketers try to take on too many channels, and they're like masters, like what's the term? Like practitioners of many, masters of none.
Yeah, right.
Along those lines, versus really dialing in on what's working and what's not working.
Well, what I wanted to cover was like, so the intent, the keyword targeting and, contextual targeting is one thing. Number two is similar to what you do, but the other way to do it is the retargeting of ads, right? I've been to your, this is where actually SEO comes in. We talk about SEO, I don't talk about it too much in my practice, but when you talk about SEO, that means if you're optimized right and you're on the first or second page, people might be researching your company, right? So where they're paid media, they might be coming through lead magnets and other things like that. But for SEO standpoint, if they're coming to you organically, maybe it's through a directory, maybe it's through some other source that's not paid media, but they're visiting your website, but they're not converting, they're researching. But if they're going through SEO, that means they're more of a mid or bottom funnel looking for something, right? So that's important to think about, because you have, companies, typically do the retargeting component, come back and convert, right? So now it gets back to ConvertaVisit and things like that, because that's the other, it's almost another way of retargeting in a way, right? But it's instead of with ads, you're going to target by like sales, right? So why don't you go into the high level look at what ConvertaVisit is as far as a, another tactic in this realm of different intent strategy.
Yeah, and the intent, because there's tools that can show you outside intent based on what they're looking at, what they're researching, habits, but maybe they're not, kind of within any sort of awareness stage with your company. What we're doing is capturing the intent of those who are already in that awareness stage of your company, and however they, whatever means that they had found you through, without knowing that they're even there in the first place, that alone is a gold mine. I mean, for a high level B2B deal, if you can turn around one account that was checking you out, looking at competitors, doing whatever, and they left and you had no idea and you didn't have your team retarget them, I mean, that could be that could be seven figure, who knows? Like every deal is kind of different. So that is massive. But also in longer B2B sales cycles, some of these accounts, and I'm sure this never happened to you, Paul, being in sales as long as you have, but you know, you put a proposal out to somebody and they disappear on you, right? They ghost you, they go
it
quiet.
It happens a lot, believe me.
Never happens. You know, no one's ever experienced this before. I know it's crazy, but
it happens all the time, everybody, believe me. You know.
Yeah.
That. So anyway.
Yeah, hints of sarcasm in that.
Just
so,
respond to an email, please. Okay.
And oftentimes, you know, time, money, need, opportunity, all these things have to align to get a deal done. So if they aren't, you know, you may be putting contracts out for clients and they disappear. Well, if you have the right tracking data, I mean, you can see if they're opening your emails, but a lot of time, the first thing they're going to do when timing maybe turns around is they're going to go back to your website and start doing their due diligence again. And there may be three or four different contacts within that company. Now, it doesn't do me a good job in some cases to know that, like, you know, Microsoft is on my website. Great. Many tools can give you that information. But when you're able to leverage database with these kinds of tools in combination, you know, with the actual names, leads, verified phone number, address of the specific, you know, person from that account, that's an absolute game changer. And that's what most people are missing through all of their analytics tools. And they're getting some of it maybe through HubSpot, but the ones that are just strictly within your current database are one thing. The ones that are cold leads are another thing. And they may not be as cold as you think, because again, someone from your team could have called them 6 months ago. You could have sent them an email 3 weeks ago, and they maybe saw a post on LinkedIn that you did. All of a sudden they're ready to start engaging.
Yeah. Go in the, just for the audience out there, as far as we're not getting too much in the weeds, but talk about, and don't give anything away, but talk about, like,
I'll give it all away.
How are you identifying companies? Because again, I know there's always like the device ID, IP address, a typical, you know, with pixels and all in the B2C side of things. Mm-hmm. But we're also worried about people remotely working from home. They may not be totally accurate, you know. So again, that's a question that I'd have anyway, is how can you identify companies from their company IP? It's one thing versus their home IP. And I know I'm going to ask.
Yeah, and the home, and that's, again, a missing point for a lot of tools. We can pick up from a personal, you know, like, device ID, depending, you know, it's got to be able to be publicly facing data somewhere that we can match up and use AI and, you know, part of the proprietary process to match that person. And it's never 100% perfect.
Right.
You know, you got to give that credit, but minimally knowing, because if you see some semblance of that person or from that account, you know, based on what you do in your business and what it is that they looked at, you can connect the pieces fairly well as to who that person is. So you got, you know, we auto with AI technology match all that together. But in other cases, you have to go do and do that diligence and do that research on your own, which takes hours and hours just to even find one single account or one single person. And then the other thing is too, okay, let's say I've got that person identified. Maybe you're using Discover.org, Zoom Info, tools like this to get data and verified contact information.
Yeah,
no like other tool in the world
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. No other tool in the world in that same platform in the way that, you know, the data is provided through ConvertaVisit tool, for example, match it, you know, allows you to do that data enrichment and the matching directly within the platform. So that's another huge kind of value add to be able, like, oh my God, I can cut cost on, you know, certain tools I'm already using and just get a much more refined process to how I am going and researching those leads that I've already spent money on.
Let me circle back for a little tech here for a minute. So to understand, you know, if you identify a company, you know, I know with what I have, I know sometimes there's bot traffic that comes in. You have to like remove that, but you know, the actual companies that visit you, sometimes you don't know who the person is, but you know the company that's it, right? And then your database is saying, here are some verified contacts at that company, right? And what pages they visited. That actually thinks about the ABM thing a little bit, because if you contact people, you don't really know, like, it depends on your target audience, right? And that's what you want to identify. You can even send messages out to the CEO or CFO at the same company, right? Because there's something going on at that company, which is why
Yeah,
somebody.
they're talking to each other. They may send a lower level, not in a negative way, but they may send another employee to go out and, look for a particular vendor that is in your case. And so you can't discredit not only just the one person, but also the five or six people that are involved in that decision-making process.
Yeah, I think that's important to realize. I mean, it's like anything, it's like retargeting in a way, but
Yeah. Well,
you
and I want to make another point here too.
know. Yeah.
Not just the data. Like, we're not here to like I'm certainly not here to just kind of like pitch a tool. Like, that's irrelevant
Right. We're
for
talking
you,
about
but
strategy.
the strategy behind it is what we call ROI recapture. And so not only the data of what's happening, but based on the data, don't just leave it the status quo. What can you do to capture much more of those leads when they do, find you? Not only, okay, great, you can pick them up and then you have the ability to go in and follow up with them, hit them on LinkedIn, send them an email, call them, however you do your outbound follow-up process. But when they do land there, how do you maximize your chances of that conversion? So, number one, ask yourself this question. In your website, it's, number one starts with copy and content on your site. Content is currency, and it creates context for the people that are visiting there. If you go to any website, 90% of them out there, talk about we and us and, our versus you and pain and value and talking about, what is the value you bring to the table. I've been fortunate enough, a very good friend of mine, and I highly recommend his book, Patrick Renvoi, who literally wrote the Bible on neuromarketing. Very smart guy. I've done a
Yeah.
podcast with him, and we've
Sure.
done some webinars together. And, go check out his material and then do that exercise on your website. Go through, even if you just start on your homepage and say, count the times we talk about we, us, our versus
Well, you're preaching to the
you.
choir, right? It's
Right. Now, and then the second
we
thing.
to you. Every we needs a you, right? So
Yeah.
at
Yeah,
least.
because people it, and it really is just a psychological perspective, the visuals, the copy, the content. The other thing is I'm always looking at people's socials. Like, when I personally am looking for a vendor, sometimes websites are just there and you can't tell if they're even in business anymore. So if I go to a website and I see they haven't uploaded a blog in 6 months,
Right,
or
right.
videos
They're
and your
not
social
active.
media is dead, I may just automatically assume you're out of business, right? You have no updates there. And so if you're not doing content to further nurture, educate, give people a resource library, to kind of educate themselves when they get there, then that's also another reason you're probably losing ROI through your site. You're just bleeding leads through your site. And then on top of that is the cap how you're capturing them. Like, 99% of lead forms or getting people to contact you or get a quote, they're just set up incorrectly. And they're not set up in a way
Well,
that really helps, kind of direct somebody on what action to take on what it is you do. Not only that, when they do decide to take an action, they have no idea what the hell they're getting. They're just confused. Onto one, what am I actually getting from this company? And two, what action should I be taking here?
you're doing a whole nother topic on conversion optimization, right?
It
So,
all ties in. It
but it
all
does,
ties
well,
into
it
that
sure
bigger
does.
picture of ROI recapture, right?
You know what I tell people, like, because I optimize sites and stuff like that too, is you start sometimes you can't take your website for granted no matter what you're doing, because what if your $100,000 prospect was worth $100,000, wasn't convinced to do business with you or at least sign up before you even know, and he went to a competitor? How would you feel? Go home at night and go to sleep. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I have, I always, even on my website, I have all these tools that talk about scenarios. What if we increase your conversion rate 5%? even with the same average value or, of your customer lifetime value. And then if you put like, three more deals a year, doesn't that pay for all the marketing expense we're doing? Yeah, Paul. Okay, let's get started. Like saying so. But that's why all these even conversion and everybody seems to be into it
Well,
really.
and
You got it's education too, so.
I think a lot of people are like, well, my business doesn't work like that. We do all our business through, word of mouth, referrals in person, but that's just not the case. There is no stats that support that. Now, granted, yes, you're going to get business there, but if you want to grow your business, your online presence is everything. 80% of the buying cycle, the process, the research is done before anybody decides to
And
come
well,
talk to you.
yeah, well,
It's
people,
done.
a lot of that is done, but I would say I think it depends on the context, right? Because I do a lot of lead magnet marketing. They don't know who you are yet. They might read the content and then come back later with the, you might know who you are and they'll come back with nurturing emails, right? So I think a lot of it depends on the context. And that's why I think you need both, right? That's why there's, some kind of intent marketing like we do with lead magnets and things like that, because that's hand raisers. And there's also, other ways to drive to engage with people who may not do a lead magnet, but they're still researching. And that's where, again, website optimization is and all that. And you can't take that for lightly, right? And that's what we're talking about here with anybody is, geez, look at your analytics. I know GA4 is a little tough right now, but look at your engagement rates. Look at what pages they're visiting. And I'm going to say this to you. Talk about ROI, Connor. I'm a preacher on this, by the way, is your about pages and all that kind of stuff. Leadership team. Let's show people on your website, especially if you're tech. I mean,
Yeah, a hundred
buy,
percent.
I want to know that you what your
People buy
credit
from people they
credentials
know, like, and trust.
are. Right.
You know what I mean? And so the other piece of that that's missing is called social proof. And I'm not talking about getting generic quotes on your website from clients that are happy with you. But how in depth have you actually gone into talking about what you've done, the problems they had before, what they experienced working with you, and using that for nothing is more powerful than video testimony of your clients
Oh, well,
and leveraging that throughout your website. Most people are still not doing this, which means there's a very good opportunity for you to stand out from your competitors because no one trusts. Like, if I see quotes, online on your website, like a happy client, I am mad, automatically assume it's BS.
oh,
And
gee.
I always ask
I
for
don't
a
know about
video quote.
that, but I hear you, though. I don't know if it's window dressing, but it's again, these are all tools and tactics, right?
It looks great, it's fine, but.
I resell video testimonial tools. We'll talk about that
Yeah.
offline. But
Yeah.
it's just a new thing. There's so much stuff out there. It's just kind of a matter of just putting it all in play into a playbook.
But there's so much generic content out there. People just don't trust you. I'm saying you, like the listener, like people don't trust anything anymore. Because there's a lot of skepticism. Anyone can go out there and say they're the best. Anyone can go out there and buy awards, but what they can't fake
Oh boy.
is the social proof that you're getting from your actual
No,
clients.
totally agree. Right. I totally for sure. Hey AI, can you give me a quote of a testimonial of a CEO? No, I'm only kidding. But people do that too, right? That
I'm
was
sure
pretty
I've
good.
seen it.
Have you?
I've seen it. I've vetted vendors before and been like, give me a video testimony. Okay, can I talk to a client of yours? No, we just have our quotes on the website. You can use that. I'm like, all right, never talk to them again.
So,
And
I mean,
that's me. Like, imagine what a Fortune 500 executive, what kind of level of social proof they're going to need for a high dollar sale.
right. I mean, we're really talking about lead generation in two different buckets. Well, actually, there's more, but let's just say the high level is like for what I do is demand generation, which is, lead gen through content and maybe search marketing, right? It's like paid media and demand generation. Throw me ads out, e-blasts, newsletters, all that social media, document ads, whatever it is, because we want to get the almighty name into our funnel, right? And that's all. And then you have the other side, which is basically the SEO side, the organic side, of and maybe in directories like G2 or Kepterra of your tech, things like that, where you're listing on directories, or you might have actually a blog post that actually shows up on page one or two, but they're coming through organically, not through demand gen media or cold, right? And that's the other side of things you can't take for granted, even though your SEO may be good or not good, but it's still people are still look at your analytics. If people are coming in through organic, it's not through any
And
kind of
that's why I'm talking about the ROI recapture. That
That's what I'm
is
saying, yeah.
what people are going to put their time and investment into, especially because marketing budgets are lean. Across the board, budgets are getting cut. Marketers are expected to do much more with less. And so all that ties into lead gen, which is great, costs you X amount to go out and acquire new customers who don't know you. But the ones who you've already captured and essentially just bled them out on the other side of your sales funnel, that's the point I really want to drive home, in this podcast today, is being able to ensure that you're not losing those deals that you've already put time, money, energy, hard work, sweat and tears into, falling out the other end of your sales pipeline.
Yeah. Well, building trust, doing the research, giving somebody something free maybe or whatever it is. There's a lot of testing involved, as you know, and everybody, you got to keep in mind, even though we do A/B tests or things like that, that everybody's a person. They have their own need. They have their own, things that attract them. Comedy, seriousness, something provoking, something they can relate to, or a case study. It's a mix. I mean, everything we do in life, I'm just talking big picture now. Most decisions we make are a combination of, depending on the percentage, but there's always a pie of logic and emotion, right? And the end of the day is when you purchase something or do something, how do you feel at the end? How do you feel? I feel good. I feel like I'm contributing something, and that's makes you feel good, and that you're trying to. Always trying to optimize something at your business. The whole generic term of pain point, we all use that. It's basically, not every company's running perfectly, so we got to find those spots to say, well, maybe there's a way to improve something. And that's what sales is all about.
Always away.
Yeah. Any like last words that might come up as far as this goes and your tools and everything, and anything else you want to summarize?
I would say the most expensive thing for your listeners is you don't know what you don't know. And so if there's any level of, hey, this really resonates with me, I'd really like to at least know, am I losing deals? Am I bleeding potential leads out through the other end of my sales funnel? Do I have the ability to do a stronger job at ROI recapture? You can find out for free. Reach out to Paul, reach out to me. We can give you that data for free, and from there, be able to make recommendations for you.
Okay, good. Give us your website to contact you, and
Yeah,
we'll have it on
check
the
out.
description as well on the podcast.
Yeah, and I'll give you the links. Check out convertavisit.com.
Right.
You could also, if you Google me, Connor, Connor, Dubey, Dubee, anywhere, you'll find me. LinkedIn, I use more than anything, but I'm on every single platform out there. And you can also check out the B2B Mentors podcast. I bring on some of the top leading CMOs, business influencers, business celebrities, and we talk in depth about these topics and what they're doing. So that, whether you're small, you're medium, you're large, there's those who have created the success that you can take, put in your pocket, and be able to execute, not from some, marketing guru who's just talking about it and hasn't done it, but real practitioners. So convertavisit.com, connect with me, follow me, let me know what you thought of the podcast. And can't thank you enough, Paul, for having me. It's been fun.
Okay. Yeah, it's great. Great conversation. I appreciate it. And so thanks for listening, everybody. Hope to do another podcast soon. And tell your friends, tell your neighbors. Well, not about your neighbors, but your colleagues that I've rebranded a little bit, newsparkmediagroup.com. I cover all my B2B and B2C work. And there'll be more about that next year. But but always think about everything we do in business is how do we engage somebody today? That's our job. Is it a lead? Is it a sale? Is it a follow-up? That's what everything is about. Like, what's our message? Everything is contributing to try to get somebody to pay attention and actually become a lead, become a qualified lead, become an opportunity, become a proposal, become a sale, right? Every day is one day closer. Think about it and do it the right way. Thanks, Connor.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks for listening to the podcast. This is Paul Mosenson, and we'll talk soon.